word of prayer. I'm going to ask if you'll stand, please. Calisthenics. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come. We're thankful for tonight. We're thankful for the opportunity of tonight. We're thankful that we can come on this evening and sing your praises, worship you, and know you, to know you better in the study of your word. I pray that you'd bless our time together tonight. I pray that you are pleased with this, that you are honored in this, that you are known through this, and again, that the name of Christ is lifted up high tonight. We're thankful for this Lord's Day. We're thankful for our service, for our meeting this morning. We again pray that your word goes out, has gone out, that it continues to go out. And so we just ask that you bless this time together this evening. Lord, we praise you and we worship you. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now you may be seated. Tonight we're back in our series, Praise Him for Who He Is. I'm excited about this series every single week. Praise Him for Who He Is. In it, we are looking carefully and closely at the characteristics or the traits of our God. We are looking at the attributes, really, of our God. Last week, I told you this effort really was a master class in Christian theology, and that's really what it is. I told you last week, if you'll listen and if you'll consider and if you'll think, it will result in us being made theologians. And so on Sunday nights, we are on our way to becoming theologians. You can add that to your resume. You can at least put that on your Facebook page. You are a theologian. Well, while that is all true, the result, real result that I believe is going to happen is that in seeing who God is, our faith is going to be built up. We talk about, I would like to have a deeper faith. I would like to have a better faith, a stronger faith. Well, in knowing who God is, our faith is going to be built up. I believe in that, part of that. As we do that, our love for God will also grow. And I believe that's a natural product of what we're going to do as we study the attributes of God, the character of God, the nature of God. I believe a natural thing is our love for God will grow. And I believe with both of those things, with our faith being built up, with our love for God growing, I believe we will be found in worship. And I think that's what's going to happen to us collectively as a people, but as individuals. We're going to be found in worship. We're going to be found at worship of our God. As I said the first week, you may remember back that far, worship is not an endeavor of the emotion. Some folks teach that, some folks act like that, that if you're going to worship, there has to be an emotional response and that it's really a work or an endeavor of the emotion. Rather, it is an endeavor of the mind. And that may or may not stir our emotion, but as that happens, this exercise of the mind, our faith is going to grow and it will impact our hearts. Now, I believe that does happen as we endeavor to know who God is with our minds, thinking with our minds, considering with our minds, our heart is going to have an impact made on it of worship, and it's going to result in worship. Now, I want to say this, and we need to say it a lot, especially today in the day we're living in. Be sure and understand, Satan has launched an attack on our minds. And really, it's a battle for our minds, and he has launched an attack on our minds. He wants to dull our minds. And maybe we look at screens all day, maybe we watch TV all day. He wants to delude our minds, have us perceive incorrectly. He wants to debilitate, actually unhinge our minds, incapacitate our minds. He is trying to rob from us the use of our minds. Now, the reason for that is he wants us to be a non-thinking people. He wants us to be a mindless people. Now, why is that? It's because if that is what happens, the result is we are then limited in our capacity to understand God. We are limited in our capacity to consider God and thus to truly worship God. And I believe that's what's happening in our day. It's an attack on our minds, and he's trying to make it where we're not able to consider the things of God. We're not able to consider God and thus mess up our worship of God. So tonight, here we are. We're back again on this Sunday night, becoming theologians, using our minds to consider who God is. So far, we have looked at the truth that my God is holy. That word means unlike. And so he is unlike anyone or anything else. He is holy. We looked at he is eternal. Really, there's profound implications tied to that. That is a huge truth. He is eternal. Last week, we looked at the truth. He is infinite. He is without limitation in all things and in all areas. Our God, he is infinite. Well, then tonight, we're going to keep going. And tonight we come to the subject or the topic, his knowledge has no bounds. His knowledge has no bounds. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. That's what we're going to consider tonight. His knowledge has no bounds. One of the aspects of being infinite, now remember that word means without bounds or without limits, without limitations. That's what infinite meant. Well, one of the aspects of being infinite is that God is infinite in all ways, in all expressions. We saw that last week. Well, one of the aspects of being infinite is that he is infinite in his knowledge. That means his knowledge does not have a limit. His knowledge does not have bounds or boundaries. It's without limits. So get this tonight. God has unlimited knowledge, and so he is all-knowing. Now listen to that very carefully. Hear that? It matters how it progresses. God has unlimited knowledge, and so, therefore, he is all-knowing. Now, if there is a limit anywhere or any time in any of that, then he's not all-knowing. But there's not. He is limitless, and so he is an all-knowing God. Being infinite, having no limits, our God is all-knowing. Now, this is referred to what we call as omniscience, the omniscience of God. He is omniscient. That's what that is referring to. Now, let me say that. That may be kind of complicated. Let me say that in Route 2 Vernon terms very simply tonight. Simply, it means this. There is nothing God doesn't know. A lot of words to say that. There is nothing God doesn't know. God knows everything. Now, if you go and look up the definition for knowledge, it will say, I looked up three or four different places, it will say the fact or condition of knowing something, the fact or condition of knowing something, and then it's going to say this, gained through experience, observation, or study. Gained through experience, observation, or study. Now, if we know something, I'm talking about us, and I don't care what the subject is, anything, if we know something, it's either because we experienced it. If we know that fire is hot, there may have been a day that we put our hand on the fire and we found out it's hot. We've experienced that. Or it's because we have observed it. If we know fire is hot, maybe somebody held a thermometer and we were able to measure it. We were able to see the temperature of it. Or maybe it's because we studied it. Fire is hot. We read three books on it. We took a class on it. And so we have studied it so we know fire is hot. And so knowledge is the fact or condition of knowing something gained through experience, observation, or study. Except in the case of God. That doesn't hold true for him. That holds true for all of us. It doesn't hold true for him. You see, he has all knowledge. He possesses all knowledge. He is boundless. There is no limit to the knowledge that he has. He has all knowledge. Now, what that means is he is not gaining knowledge. He's not saying, well, I didn't know that was going to happen. Well, I didn't know if you did this and did that, this will be the result. Wow, that's awesome. He's not studying. He's not getting up some encyclopedia somewhere and trying to study. He's not learning new things. Because his knowledge has no limit, no bounds, he knows everything. It is not bound or limited to what he has experienced. It is not bound or limited to what he has learned. It is not bound or limited by a capacity to learn. Some folks are limited by the capacity to learn. It is not bound or limited by a capacity to store or to retrieve information. Sometimes that's all the information I can take in, or sometimes that's all the information I can remember or get back out. He doesn't have either one of those limitations. His knowledge is not bound by a place. I learned something in this event. It's not tied to a time. I learned something as we went through this event or when this occurred. It's not bound by a place, point, or time. He knows everything about everything. He knows everything about everything. Even deeper than that, he knows the intents of our hearts. He knows the thoughts of our minds. That's kind of a spooky thing. God knows the thoughts of your mind. He's not surprised. He knows what you've been thinking. He knows the future. He is all-knowing. Now, you can roll around on that for a while and not even get to the depth of understanding that. He is all-knowing. Nothing he doesn't know, even your thoughts, your motivations. If you have a false motivation, he knows that. His knowledge knows no bounds. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20 plainly states, God knows all things. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20, God knows all things. Psalm 147, verse 5, we looked at this verse last week, says, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite, has no limit. Romans chapter 11, verse 33 through 36. Listen as I read this. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depth of the riches, both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who became his counselor, or what has first given to him that it might be paid back to him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. His knowledge knows no bounds. So what does that mean to us? I read that and I think that's kind of heavy. That's kind of hard to think about. It's very awesome. But does that have an application for us? Now, what does that mean for us tonight? Now, let me just say this. The implications of that are many. And really, we could talk for a good while and never cover all of the implications of that. There are many things that we could consider. I was thinking about that this afternoon. There's many things that we could explore about the knowledge of God, the fact that he knows something. Does that mean that he has determined something? Now, there's a lot of things that we could explore that we could look at. But I picked out three things for us to look at tonight. Here we go. First thing is this. Our God is all-knowing, therefore, his justice is perfect. Our God is all-knowing, therefore, his justice is perfect. Now, the Bible tells us this. We've seen it in our study of Revelation. God does judge. God will judge sin. The Bible tells us over and over, it's in his nature. It's what he's going to do. God is going to uphold justice. Go read the Old Testament. Now, that was their hope, that God would come and he would establish justice, that he would uphold justice. That is our hope, nonetheless, this day, that God would come and that he would institute a day of justice and that he would uphold justice. Well, understand this. Because he knows all things, because he knows all of the facts, because he knows all of the circumstances, now, more than that, because he knows the hearts of men, the hearts of people, the minds of people, the Bible tells us that, the book of Hebrews tells us that, because he judges the heart of all of the parties, his justice is perfect. Now, I was thinking about that. We have a justice system now in our nation. Other countries have other versions. We have one here. And we think, yeah, that's a pretty good system. Do you know there's no such thing as perfect justice being administered through the system we have? I was thinking about that. We have a judge today, and that judge, he is tasked with either assembling a jury or himself sitting on this bench and trying to assemble the facts. And so there is one side, and they come in, and they have their attorneys, their lawyers, and they present their case. And then there's a different side, and they come, and they have their lawyers present, their attorneys present, and they present their case. And some of the facts are revealed. They try to present represent the facts that are beneficial to them. Some of the facts are covered up. Some of the facts are excluded on purpose. And so the judge, not having all the information, not having all the facts, the judge is limited. And yet with what has been presented, they have to try and render justice. It's really not possible. Well, I want you to see this. Here is our God who knows all things. And so his justice is perfect. You know what? There's not a fact that was escaped. There's not something that wasn't entered in. There wasn't an intent of the heart he doesn't know about. And so his justice is perfect. Well, I don't know if that's fair or not. I don't know. Our God, his justice is perfect. All right, here's another one. I think these get better in order. God is all-knowing. Therefore, listen to this one. His provision is perfect. I want you to hear that again. God is all-knowing. What does that mean to us sitting here tonight? It means his provision is perfect. This means God who loves you, listen, knows what you need. And he knows exactly when you need it. And he knows exactly how you need it for the greatest good. Now, we think we know that. I like to think I know that. I know what I need and I know when I need it. We like to think we know that. We have no idea. He knows what you need and he knows when you need it. And so listen, his provision is perfect. We can trust that. The provision of God is perfect. Now, here's what we wonder. We wonder, why didn't he give me that? Why didn't I get that job when I thought that would be the perfect thing? Why didn't he give me that? Why didn't that happen the way I thought? Why didn't he answer the way I wanted? I knew what I wanted. I've been praying and I've been seeking him. Why didn't he answer the way that I wanted? Why am I still doing without something? I ought to have it by now, and I don't understand it. Why am I still doing without something? It is because God is all-knowing, and because he is all-knowing, it's tied to a lot of his other attributes, and kind and gracious and wise, but because he is all-knowing, therefore, we can trust his provision is perfect. He knows what you need, when you need it, how you need it. You can rest in him. Well, I don't have what I thought I ought to have. You know what? His provision's perfect. This isn't the timing I like. His provision is perfect. He hasn't answered my prayers the way I thought he would. His provision is perfect. Therefore, we can rest in him. All right, here's the last one. I think this is better than that one. Last one is this. Because God is all-knowing, his plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. God knows everything. He knows what will happen. He's not surprised. There are no unexpected outcomes. Sometimes I do something and I think, well, when I do this, this is what's happening. And I do that thing and it's not what happens and I have an unexpected outcome. There's no unexpected outcome for him. He's not surprised. He knows what should happen. Again, he knows what needs to happen. He knows the best way for it to happen. He knows the best way for it to come about. He knows everything. Listen very carefully. And so everything he does or wills has not just an intelligent purpose, but a perfectly informed, perfectly intelligent purpose. I want to say that again. That's a pretty good sentence. He knows everything. And so everything he does or wills has not just an intelligent purpose, but a perfectly informed, perfectly intelligent purpose. It's not random, not blind, not happenstance, not by chance. Everything he does or wills has been perfectly informed and has a perfectly intelligent purpose. Now, what that means is this. So therefore, we can trust him. Therefore, we should trust him. I want to tell you tonight, we should take joy in that. We ought to take joy in that. We should find peace in that. His plan is perfect. He knows what needs to happen, the best way for it to happen, when it happens, and I can trust in that. We should rest in that. We should be resolved in that. He tells us what his plan is. We ought not buck against it. We ought to carry out his plan. His plan is perfect. Because he's all-knowing, his plan is perfect. Not some of the time, but all of the time. Because he's all-knowing, his plan is perfect. That's just three things. That's just three things that ought to make us feel with joy tonight. That's just three things that ought to give us peace tonight. We could go on for a good while. His knowledge knows no bounds. I'm going to ask if you'll stand, please. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come, and I pray that this truth resonates with us. I pray that we hear this, that we understand this. You know everything. You perfectly do the future. My heart, the hearts of people, your plan, therefore, is perfect. Your justice is perfect. Lord, we can see your provision is perfect. And so I pray, Lord, that this has served tonight to calm some of us. Maybe it's served to strengthen some of us. Maybe it's caused some of us to have a greater resolve tonight. But I pray that we take hope and peace and joy in the truth that your knowledge has no bounds. Lord, I'm thankful that that's our God. And I'm thankful that you're not learning as we are, that you're not bumbling around trying to straighten it out as we go, but that you are perfect in your knowledge. I praise you for that. I thank you. I'm glad for that. And Lord, I pray as we've studied these things now and added one more to it, I pray that our faith is already becoming deeper. And I pray that our resolve is becoming stronger. And I pray, Lord, that our worship is becoming deeper. And I pray, Lord, the fruit of that is that we would honor you and bless you and praise you, and that our love for you is growing. Lord, I'm thankful that that's what your word does. Lord, I pray for the folks here tonight, those listening in tonight, bless them, encourage them. Let us consider these things with our minds as we go home tonight, as we ponder them in our beds tonight. Let us have a great, growing understanding of who you are. Lord, we come, we pray tonight as we go into a new week. I pray for lost folks. I pray for lost folks that will travel in our circles. I pray for opportunities. I pray for boldness on our part. I pray for ears to hear. And I pray, Lord, that we would take this week and seize it in an attempt to lead someone, point someone to the hope that we have in Jesus. I pray for our homes, our families, for our church tonight. Bless it and use it as well. And then we just come and end this Lord's Day by saying, you are our King, you are our Lord, you are our hope, you are our prize. And so we celebrate you tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen.